During the day, they mingled with the civilians and we helped in the kitchen. Kenna and I fetched water and washed dishes. The rest of our friends helped by chopping eggplants, onions, meats, and the like in the kitchen. I liked busying myself with work all day, going back and forth to the river, and continuously washing dishes. It was the only way I could distract myself from the thoughts that were giving me severe headaches. But by midday, all the daily chores were done. The evening meal was prepared and only awaited consumption. Everyone sat on the verandas of the houses facing the village square. Parents picked their children here. Girls played singing and clapping games, and some of the young soldiers played soccer with the boys. Their jubilation and clapping could be heard far down the river. Life was not lived in fear during the day in this village. The soccer games reminded me of the league matches I used to play in when my family first moved to the mining town of Mogbemo. In particular, I remember the final match that my team, which consisted of Junior and some friends, won. Both my parents were at the game, and at the end, my mother applauded and smiled widely. Her face glowed with pride. My father walked up to me and rubbed my head before he held my right hand and raised it up as he declared me his champion. He did the same to Junior. My mother brought us a cup of water, and as we drank, she fanned us with her head cloth. The excitement caused my heart to pound faster and I was sweating profusely. I could taste the salty sweat that ran from my forehead to my lips. Standing there with my family, I felt light, as if I was getting ready to fly. I wanted to hold the moment longer, not only to celebrate our victory, but because the smile on my parents' faces that evening made me so happy that I felt every nerve in my body had awoken and swayed to the gentlest wind that sailed within me. I distanced myself from games in the village and sat behind houses, staring into the open space until my migraines temporarily subsided. I didn't tell anyone what was happening to me. My symptoms weren't mentioned in the morning when the sergeant doctor, as the civilians called them, lined up children and families for treatment. The sergeant doctor called for fever, cold, and many other illnesses, but he never asked if anyone was having nightmares or migraines. At night, Alhaji, Juma, Moriba, and Kene played marbles on the cement floor under the moonlight that made its way through the open window panes. Musa had grown popular among the boys and would always end the night with a different story. I quietly sat in the corner of the room, clenching my teeth as I didn't want to show my friends the pain I felt from my headache. In my mind's eye, I would see sparks of flame, flashes of scenes I had witnessed, and the agonizing voices of children and women would come alive in my head. I cried quietly as my head beat like the clapper of a bell. Sometimes after the migraines had stopped, I was able to fall asleep briefly, only to be awoken by nightmares. One night, I dreamt that I was shot in the head. I was lying in my blood as people hurriedly walked past me. A dog came by and began licking my blood ferociously. The dog bared its teeth as my blood sweetened its mouth. I wanted to scare it away, but I was unable to move. I woke up before it started what I was afraid it was going to do to me. I was sweating and couldn't sleep for the rest of the night.